Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Oh, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine this morning on this Labor Day weekend. We're live in the studio and ready to take your phone calls. So let me go ahead and give that phone number. We have Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat in the studio today. The number to get through with your questions for the doctors is 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. All right. Good morning, doctors.
Good morning, Lynette.
And of course, since this is a Labor Day weekend, most of our audience is going to be out on the road or having flown away to a fun spot. Well, we're still sitting here in the studio ready to ask questions from the six people that are actually going to listen to us this weekend.
Well, hopefully the ones on the road are listening to us, Gary.
That's right. But those of you that are at home listening to us, this is a great weekend to give us a call. Because you should be able to get through.
Yes.
Because most people are not at home this weekend.
That's right. So. And all of those people that have told me they're too shy to call, don't be shy today.
Don't be shy. No, because
he knows it's you.
Otherwise, I've got to just sit here and yammer away, and you know, I enjoy yammering actually sometimes, but
and sometimes Jerry, they like to listen to you too.
Well, you know, one of the joys of talking to yourself is you've always got an attentive audience.
That's right, you do,
and it's a highly intelligent audience that asks the proper questions.
Very appropriate,
so,
indeed.
You know,
yeah.
So yeah, I talk to myself frequently. I sing to myself.
Yeah.
Actually, I whistle to myself more often than I sing.
Yeah.
I don't have much of a singing voice.
And that's okay. We're going to trust you on that.
All right.
Yeah. We'll just trust you on that.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife tells me that I can't sing and that I'm too big to dance.
Okay.
But I enjoy it anyway.
Oh, so is that such a thing?
So I dance anyway.
All right.
I may not be graceful, but I have a hell of a lot of fun.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
That's good. All right. So here we are, Labor Day weekend. This is the last day of August. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm. I can believe it.
This is it. September 1st.
Yes. And I'm kind of dreading much of September because Dr. Umat is going to be gone for the
first three weekends
in September, so I'm going to have to do it myself. So those of you who are on the road and listening to us, you may not call in today, but the next 3 weeks, don't leave me lonely.
They won't, Jerry. They love you. They'll call.
Yeah, I actually, you know, had an invitation for the third weekend you're going to be gone.
Okay.
That I got invited to a iHeart music festival in Las Vegas.
What? Really? Okay.
Yeah, and they had some live country music stars that I really wanted to hear.
Okay.
But I had to cancel it because you're not going to be here.
Well, really? Why don't we pre-record
that show, Jerry?
Do you want to pre-record it with old questions and people can send in their questions online?
Yeah.
You know, that way that you can go?
Maybe we could. I'd like to go to it, but, you know.
Let's do it.
Yeah. I mean, as long as iHeartRadio is paying the bills, I'm perfectly willing to fly on their
nickel.
Exactly.
Why not?
Yeah, and I think I should go, too, because it's iHeart.
Just because it's iHeart. That's right, yes. Yeah, and they put us up in these outrageously expensive hotels.
Okay.
The only thing that bugs me about those hotels is, I mean, the room is $500 a night, right? Now, they have the stuff in the room, and It's sitting on a counter. If you pick it up, there's apparently a radio frequency tag or something. If you pick it up, it charges you for it.
Okay.
You don't have to actually eat it or
you
drink
don't use it.
It.
Oh.
Just pick it up to look at it, and you got charged.
You do get charged, yeah.
And
there's
it's
sensors,
a bottle of water.
Right.
$27 for a bottle of water?
Really?
They buy it at Costco for 89 cents. $27 a bottle for water?
Wow.
So where is this conference?
It's in Las Vegas.
Well, let's revisit that weekend, and maybe we can pre-record a show.
It is, because it's 3 weeks up the road, so
yeah,
we would have
time
to pre-record a show.
Yeah, we okay. could, because we'll. I believe we've got the week before that we'll be doing that with both doctors.
All right.
Yeah, just doing a little behind the scenes of what we do here.
Nothing here is behind the scenes.
No, not now, because we've got all the cameras in
That's
the
right.
studio.
No, we are not nearly smart enough to pull the wool over anybody's eye. We just kind of sit here and talk right out in front.
There you go. So. Yeah, no pressure, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat. Oh, but we do have a phone call. Let's get the phone number out there again, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. And we will get ready to take your phone calls about, well, what the doctors specialize in, age-related things
and
as
I've
we're growing
some
older.
Really new interesting research interest
Ooh.
On age-related stuff.
Okay, let's dive into that and see what's new, and then we'll get to the phones.
Okay.
Dr. Mixon.
Well, no, if we've got a caller who's waiting, let's go ahead and take the caller.
Okay,
let's
we can do that.
Make him waiting longer than necessary.
Okay. All right.
And then we'll talk about my favorite new research papers that I came across this week.
All right.
Okay. Well, I know that one of your favorite people to talk about is Dr. Fauci. So we have Jeff with a question about Dr. Fauci and
Dr.
what?
Fauci.
West Nile virus? Hi,
West
Jeff.
West Nile virus. All right.
Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Yeah. Good morning. I'm out walking. I listen every week, all 4 hours while I'm walking. Hey,
wow.
My question is about Dr. Fauci. He allegedly had West Nile virus and was hospitalized for a week.
Yes.
You know, that guy lied through his teeth the whole period of COVID. So
yes,
I don't
he
believe
did.
He had West Nile. But I don't believe he had West Nile virus. I believe he had some kind of adverse reaction to one of the multiple booster shots he probably took.
That or he suffocated below the three masks he wears at the same time.
Yes.
So, but I'm just asking you to tell me why I should believe anything Dr. Fauci has to say about anything.
Dr. Fauci, in my opinion, is more politician than physician. So, you know, and I believe nothing that any politician says until I see the proof. So, you know, I'm sure if you listen to the show often, you have heard my political philosophy many times, but I'm going to repeat it once more, all right? People who want to run their own lives, stay home and do so. People who want to run other people's lives seek public office. The left wants to run my life in one way. The right wants to run my life in a different way. What they all have in common is a belief that they're better qualified to run my life than I am. And I disagree. And Dr. Fauci falls into that group. He seems to have a strong belief that he's qualified to tell everyone else how to live. So I don't know why you should believe anything he said. West Nile virus, on the other hand, is going around in New England, and that is where he lives. And so it is certainly conceivable that he got bit by a West Nile virus-carrying mosquito. however, West Nile virus, humans are a dead-end host for that. In other words, if you catch West Nile virus and a mosquito bites you, he cannot then carry that to the next person he bites. Okay? When a human catches West Nile virus, that's the end of the transmission for that. So we don't give it person to person, and we cannot even infect mosquitoes to give it to other people. The natural reservoir for West Nile virus are birds.
Mm. Oh.
And so the mosquito bites a bird and then can pick up the virus and bite us and infect us. But because we are not a natural host for West Nile virus, only about one person in 150 will even have symptoms.
Mm.
So you can get the West Nile virus and never know you were infected.
Uh-huh.
Okay? The vast majority of us who get West Nile virus will have maybe a low-grade fever, a little fatigue, but won't even know he's really sick. Mm. Okay, it's about one person in 100 to 150 who will get sick enough to be clinically involved, like Dr. Fauci. And Dr. Fauci is elderly. He's in his 80s, mm-hmm. so he has a bad immune system. Mm-hmm. It's wearing out. And so he was not able to fight the infection very well. So it makes sense to me that if he did indeed get bit by a mosquito that was carrying the virus, that he could get sick enough to go to the hospital for a while. It is extremely rare, but does happen, that some people develop a florid encephalitis. Mm-hmm. And basically the brain becomes badly inflamed. And that can cause permanent neurologic damage or even fatalities. Mm-hmm. So West Nile virus can be fatal in a small minority of people, but the most of us are not really in much danger from it.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. Does that answer your question?
Was this outbreak back in the Northeast, and did it warranted some of the voluntary lockdowns that they promoted?
No. No, but what they are doing is driving through town, spraying DDT, in the streets of some New England towns to decrease the number of mosquitoes. So, they are taking proactive steps, but it's more in vector control that is trying to minimize the number of mosquitoes that are flying around rather than making the people change their behaviors.
Mm. Well, I just think it's another representation of the fact that people, if the government says we're going to lock you down, there's too many people that will just accept it carte blanche.
There are. But, that's how autocracies of all forms, that's how communists, socialists, fascists, monarchists, any group where one person or one small group of people have total control over your life. Mm. And all of those systems are similar. The problem is that too many people want a strong man. They want an all-knowing, all-powerful person to tell them how to live. Those of us who take umbrage at that thought, who raise our hackles and push back, are relatively small in number, which is, I think, unfortunate. I wish we had more people that were willing to stand up for themselves in our society, but that just doesn't seem to be the case in any society at any time in human history. That's why kings and dictators and, autocrats of one form or another are so common in human history. Mm. Democracies such as the United States have been incredibly rare. We were the first. Do you realize we were the first world democracy? And then all of the other democracies on the planet followed our pattern and our constitutional pattern of law. When we started, we were number one. France tried to follow, but they got too deep into the bloodbath, so the French Revolution went off the rails. England followed suit after a while when they reigned in their monarchy, but they never did get around to writing a written constitution, so they wander into, policing speech and even thought now. At its peak, there were 150 democracies on planet Earth that were patterned after the United States. And that number is now shrinking again. So it may be that the freedom of humanity has already peaked and is on its way back down. Hmm. At any rate, I'm getting a signal. She's saying that we're going to have to take a break. So,
okay. Well, thank you. And I'll say something that's probably in England is hate state speech now. May God bless the three of you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. Oh, thank you, Jeff, for the call. All right. And we would love to take your call today. Let's start off strong today. Don't wait until the very end of the show. We want to make sure that we get your questions in and we have plenty of time. Here's that number to call for this morning. We are live, 1-800-4255. 1-800-465-8770. We'll take a break, and then we'll be right back with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat this morning. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grand, a 10-piece band, and a 12-foot chorus line. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece suit, skip one dance for a time. If
we
the
can
devil
hear you.
Danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind.
And we're back with Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, along with Dr. Umat and Dr. Mixon. Yeah. Back in the studio.
That's right.
Well, Singing along.
I like that song because it reminds me of the days when I really did have empty pockets. I'm relatively affluent at this late stage in my life, far more affluent than I ever thought I would be. It's kind of bizarre, you know. But then if you look at it the other way, I started full-time work when I was 17.
Uh-huh.
You know, last week I turned 77.
Yay, so that is
60 straight years of full-time work.
Wow.
If I haven't saved something by now.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, very good. All right. Well, we're going to take another caller. We have Ray in Woodinville that has a follow-up question for us. Hi, Ray, and welcome to the show.
Hello, Ray. How can we help you, sir?
Hey, good morning. Well, you know, I heard you. I thought I heard you say that they're spraying DDT to kill the West Nile virus, and I thought that that was banned.
Rachel, it was.
That couldn't possibly go wrong.
And the people in Africa, I mean, could really benefit. We actually imposed our country sanctions against them for spraying DDT to kill mosquitoes over there, and people die from the malaria and the other diseases. So,
absolutely.
When did you change that?
Well, it's all a matter of, quote, public health emergencies.
Yeah, and it works.
And you know, DDT works. It kills mosquitoes. Now, it does thin the eggshells of birds.
Mm.
And so some endangered species of birds were on the verge of going totally extinct as a consequence of the fact that we used DDT very, very widely in the past.
Yes.
When I was a kid back in the 1950s, El Centro, California, my father was based at the air base in El Centro, and they used to drive through the neighborhood with the trucks spraying DDT in the air, and of course it was in a water mist, you know, and all we kids would run behind the truck in the mist, you know, being sprayed with DDT.
Oh boy!
Because in that El Centro heat. It was wonderful to have that mist of water to cool us off. And who the hell knows how much DDT I've absorbed in my system.
Right. Over the years. Yeah, no, I've been exposed to it too.
Well, there was a guy that was trying to prove that the DDT wasn't bad, a professor. I can't remember where I read it and what his name was, but he was eating a teaspoon of it a day.
Yeah.
Just to prove that it didn't do anything. I mean,
well, like I said, as a child, we basically bathed in it whenever the trucks came by. And it doesn't seem to harm humans, but it thins the eggshells of some birds. And so then when the bird sits on the egg, the egg breaks.
Okay.
And But, you know, if it's a health emergency here, you know, they should let the African countries use it, you know, because they have real plagues over there.
Right.
Yep, yeah, I agree.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I heard you right, and it sounds
it's just a matter, you know, politicians is a euphemism for stupid. So, what can I tell you?
Yeah. No, I saw the trucks going around in some of the cities, but I didn't know what they were spraying.
Wow.
Well, you know, your choices are DDT or a neurotoxin.
Yeah, well,
and
thank
the neurotoxins
you.
Are tough on
the
people.
Neurotoxin, so. Yeah.
As long as you wear your mask, right?
No.
Oh, boy.
All right. Thank you for the call, sir.
Oh, thank you, Ray, for that. All right. The phone number to get through, we are live, and we're not just talking about West Nile virus, but whatever is on your mind, diagnosis, aging, getting older.
Well, actually, that's something I want to talk about.
We'd like to talk about it. 800-465-8770 is the number. That's 1-800-465-8770. And Dr. Mixon, you said you've got some information for us.
Yeah, well, it's just some papers that I came across over the course of the last week or so that I found fascinating. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been doing senescent cell therapies for a couple of 3 years now, three or four years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been interesting because the research is continuing and we're learning more and more about it. You know, we knew way back when that treating elderly mice with senescent cell therapy one time, 20-month-old mice, because mice live an average of 25 months. Mm-hmm. So a 20-month-old mouse is an old mouse. You could treat them one time, and you actually extended their lifespan by 36%.
Mm.
They, instead of dying at 25 months, lived up into 32, 33 months.
Yeah, that's significant.
Which is a big, big life extension. And the mice acted much younger. Their coats improved. They regained sexual activity. They regained physical activity. So then the Mayo Clinic did a few human studies. And the first really good-sized one that got my attention was one on idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. So IPF. Now, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis is poorly identified. We don't know the underlying cause. We know what's happening. We don't know why it's happening. But the people start laying down fibrous tissue in their lungs, in the alveoli, and make the alveoli so thick they can't exchange gases. So they can't get oxygen into the system or carbon dioxide out.
Okay.
And so they basically slowly suffocate over a period of several years.
Air hunger.
Yeah, and the only real cure has been lung transplants.
Yeah. Mm.
And so we know from the animal studies that the fibrin deposition in the animal's lungs is triggered by senescent cells.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the cells in the alveoli of the lungs become senescent and start kicking out pro-inflammatory products, and they then trigger the deposition of the fibrin. So the Mayo Clinic did a study, and it was a fairly short study. It was only about a month long, three doses of dasatinib and quercetin for 3 days each week for 3 weeks.
Right.
And then they followed them for a couple of months to see what happened. It did not clear the pulmonary fibrosis, and you wouldn't expect it to, because once the fibrin is laid down in the lungs, getting the fibrin back out of the lungs is a lot different from stopping the process of putting it into the lungs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the men did better.
Mm.
Their exercise tolerance improved. Their oxygenation improved. Their ability to how far they could walk in 6 minutes. Their ability to get up out of chairs and move around all improved in that short period of three-day courses.
And that's quite significant.
That was very significant.
Yeah.
You know, that's different from actually pulling the fibrin out of the lung.
Right.
But at least they appeared to decrease the inflammation in the lungs, and the lungs started working better.
Yeah.
So that really caught everyone's attention. And so then the next study they did was on diabetics with renal failure. And again, a fairly short study, not a long-term, you know, they didn't follow them for years. But what they found was all of the inflammatory markers in their systems decreased. And overall, the men and women started functioning better.
Yeah.
Now, again, it didn't cure their already damaged kidneys.
Right.
You know, there's a difference in preventing the damage and then fixing the damage after it occurs.
Uh-huh.
You know, once your tire blows out, it's too late to put it more air in. You've now got a hole in the tire.
Indeed.
So since then, there's currently ongoing studies looking at dementia, because we know that we can clear dementia in mice that are designed to get Alzheimer's disease by clearing their senescent cells. So really, there's a whole lot of other studies going on. And so I pulled some papers that are review papers now that have basically gone through and looked at all the anti-senescent cell studies done in the last several years. And what we're finding is at least in the experimental animals.
Yeah.
They're reversing osteoarthritis, the
wow.
most common form of
yeah.
arthritis in we human beings.
Right.
They're actually arresting it and allowing those joints to start healing
yeah.
by clearing the senescent cells.
Uh-huh.
They are changing mice that are treated to become diabetic by removing the senescent cells in their fat cells.
Yeah.
They correct the insulin resistance and hence eventually the diabetes.
Wow.
They stop them from being diabetic. They stop them from being insulin resistant. They stop them from laying down more fat.
Huh.
In the animal studies, they're now reversing cognitive decline, age-related cognitive decline. And so, you know, as I'm looking at these studies, I am becoming more and more convinced that we should be intervening with a higher and higher percentage of our patients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, again, you know, the thing is we don't know how frequently to use it.
That is the problem.
And what is the repeat protocol? Because the original published article with Mayo was the 9 doses over a period of 3 weeks.
3 weeks. And we knew that that was safe and
yes.
that improved.
Right.
But they're not going to stay improved over the next 20 years because you still form new senescent cells
exactly.
over time.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so the question is, how often do we need to retreat people?
Right.
And how aggressively? And
yeah.
what markers can we
exactly.
use?
Exactly.
And right now, what we do know is that every organ, the senescent cells put out a different mix of markers.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've got senescent cells in your liver, it puts out different markers than your skin, which
yeah.
puts out different markers from your lung, from your kidneys, from your brain, etc. And so there are people that are looking at these hundreds of markers, trying to find out which ones correlate with which organ damage. The most globally active ones tend to be P53 and P16.
Okay.
That tells us a general picture of load, but it doesn't tell us where the load is.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And then we'll also have to talk about maybe what types of agents to use for different organ types.
Yes, that'll be the next thing. At any rate, Lynette is motioning us to take a break, so we shall do so and then come back.
We will. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about your health, and the phone lines are open for you. So give us a call and ask your questions. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
I listen to this song at home. The old time rock and roll. Because my wife is far too young for that. She was not born when this music came out.
I wasn't either, but I love it.
So,
well, maybe.
Yeah.
We're back with Leading Edge Medicine. Phone lines are open. 800-465-8770. Give us a call. And the doctors would love to talk with you. Dr. Samira Umat here today and Dr. Jerry Mixon.
Yeah, so I can do the old-time rock and roll dance.
Yeah.
And when she dances to it, it's more of a Chinese with a lot of arm and leg motion,
yeah.
but not much in the way of classic swing.
Really cute and fun to watch, I'm sure.
I love watching her, but that's a whole different thing. I happen to be overwhelmingly in love with a woman, so
there you go. All right. Well, we have something exciting coming up to the clinic again. A lot of folks and a lot of listeners and patients have been asking, when are we doing the gallery test? And the answer is 2 weeks from today. So, doctors, let's talk about that.
September 14th.
Yeah. So 2 weeks from today.
Did you want to finish up your stem cell thing before, or the senescent cell
before
we
go there? Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
You know, the message I'm getting from this
yeah.
is that an awful lot of the diseases of aging appear to actually be triggered by progressive senescent cell load in our bodies.
Yes.
And so, you know, that is becoming the consensus, the scientific consensus among many, many researchers. The question, of course, is how aggressively to treat people and how often to treat them and which dose to treat them with.
Right.
You know, we have been copying the Mayo Clinic's protocol, but Mayo Clinic may not be right.
Yeah.
They just happen to be the one that everyone has looked to because they've got the most human experience.
Correct. And they publish their data.
And they publish their data. Yeah. But it's looking more and more like our degenerative arthritis, the fact that as we age and get fatter, we become diabetic, that the fatty liver disease, cognitive decline, all of these common disease, atherosclerosis in our arteries, all of this appears to be triggered at a basement level by the formation of senescent cells in these organs.
Right.
And so, in theory, if we can reduce the number of senescent cells in older people, we should be able to prevent the formation of the vast majority of the diseases of aging.
Yes, fascinating thought.
It really is. You know, getting old could simply become a matter of starting somewhere, I don't know, in your 30s or 40s and keeping your senescent cell load low for the rest of your life.
Wow, what a concept.
And we could, in theory, add, you know, an extra 20 or 30 years of healthy, productive lifespan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's very exciting, Jerry, because as we all know, as we get older, we're more predisposed to everything going wrong, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah.
And that includes inflammation, degenerative joint disease, cancer risk, atherosclerosis, and the list just goes on and on.
Yep.
And to change that paradigm would be just fascinating.
It would. It would. And which is why I am chasing this literature so, you know, so hard, because it is the best indicator we've got thus far,
right,
of what we can do to prevent the degeneration of aging.
Yeah, and again, it's not about improving health span and lifespan. What we're talking literally about is improving health span for all of lifespan.
Yes.
And so we are, everything that is related to age and becoming a problem as we are getting older, we are looking to see, can we really change that paradigm? So that's a huge concept.
Well, and that's going to have enormous social consequences, though.
Sure it will.
The concept that you start to work in your 20s and you quit in your 60s, if you're going to live an extra 30 or 40 years,
right,
you can't stop working in your 60s.
No.
But if you're strong and healthy and vital in your 60s as you were in your 30s and 40s, why would you want to quit?
Right.
Why not continue being productive an extra 10 or 20 or 30 years?
Yeah.
You know, and enjoy productivity and being useful instead of just being a drone waiting to die.
Right. Right. And we are seeing that in our practices. We have patients in their 70s and they are wanting to continue to work, and they do it voluntarily. It's not that they're working for somebody. They're working for themselves, and they are innovative. They are excited about what they do. They want to do more of it. And sure, they have support from family and friends, but nonetheless, they are a vital part of society, and that's what's important.
Yes.
And so that's the thing that we say, die young at a very old age.
Absolutely. Be the healthiest corpse in the graveyard.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Well, Dr. Umat, Dr. Mixon, we have the gallery test coming up once again. And Dr. Umat, maybe you can tell us a little bit about that, what folks need to do to sign up, and what this test does, and why it's so vital to get this done. Very important.
You know, we know, as we've been talking about today all morning, is something that if we can get ahead of the bell curve, your trajectory for the future changes. So if you pick up something early, you know that you can do something about preventing it becoming a disability for you, or a disease, or an illness, which has consequences in your health. And the same is for cancer. It is scary. We're all at risk as we get older due to multiple changes in our body. But if we pick up the signals for cancer early, we can literally live longer, because once it's spread outside the organ of origin, then mortality is 80% in 5 years. If it's within the organ of origin, by the time it's picked up, you can survive, but 90% will live for 5 years. And that's a huge difference. So early detection is the key. And the cancer cells do put out signals. So the point is, can we detect those signals? Has our technology advanced enough that we can pick them up? And the answer is yes. In the past, we didn't know that. And certainly things like pancreatic cancer, biliary cancer are picked up too late even now. So that mortality.
Ovarian cancer too.
Yeah, ovarian cancer. There's so many of them. But the Galleri test is literally called a liquid biopsy. And with that one blood draw, they can look for signals for more than 50 different types of cancers. And if you do come positive for a signal, then they map it to where its origin is. Where is the cell of origin that is causing the signal? And then they give you a clue as to where to start looking. And you can then therefore impact and change a life. So pick it up before you even suspect you might have it.
And that's when you want to find it.
That's right.
You want to be thinking you're perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
And that's when we find the signal, and that's when we can go in and cure the cancer before it kills you.
That's right. And, you know, we have such a patient in one of our clinics where she had symptoms and the Galleri test came back positive, and she went in for a colonoscopy, which confirmed the colon cancer. And she got an early treatment. She's very happy and has basically, you know, a wake-up call, and has changed a lot in her life to help her be healthier. Well,
we had one who called us recently.
Yeah.
A colorectal cancer.
Yeah.
That he had had no symptoms at all.
Yeah.
But the Galleri test found the tumor.
The signal.
And they went in and, you know, identified it, and he had his surgery and is doing well.
Yeah.
So, you know, this can be a real lifesaver.
It can be. There was a colleague of mine who shared her case where the patient was having upper GI symptoms, and they did scope them. Endoscopy did not find a lesion, but the Galleri test was positive, and the Galleri test was done later. And the physician then agreed to go back and scope again, and he found the hidden lesion. It was basically hiding. He couldn't see it. But when he went back after a positive signal from the Galleri test, he found it.
Well, once you know that it's got to
right.
be there,
yeah,
you know,
then
it focuses your attention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So. Yeah, because even in colon cancer, you could potentially miss it in colonoscopy. Yeah.
Colonoscopy is not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, colonoscopy is the best we've got.
Right.
But it misses a certain number of cancers just because the tumors are small and the colon is not a clear round pipe.
Yeah.
You know, it's a living tissue and it's got creases and crevices and wrinkles and folds.
Right, right. So, so the Galleri test, you know, definitely a life-saving technology. It is available to all longevity patients at any time, but periodically we open our doors to allow people who are not longevity patients to take advantage of this facility, and the test is available to them. So September 14th is the day, 9 to 1, all clinics, Linwood, Tacoma, and Kirkland, but by appointment only. And then we have dropped the price. It's down to $9.95 now. And if you do want to do the longevity blood panel, that's $595 in addition to that. And then we'll give you a free bottle of our foundations, which is a multivitamin that Dr. Mixon created.
Yeah. And for those of you who want to know why the price got dropped, it's simple. We're doing enough of these now that the company drops our price. And if they drop our price, we drop your price. It's
that's
real
right.
simple.
Right.
You know, if we got to pay, you got to pay.
And one last word on that is that if you have done the Galleri test in the past, you must do it again. And the time difference, obviously the company wants as many as you can, so they suggest 1 year. Every year you should do it, but I will defer to you. And depending upon your risk factors, if you have a lot of risk factors, if you're older, if you're suspicious, then obviously do it every year. But if you have fewer risk factors and you just want to know, you can wait out a little bit longer. But definitely if you've done one a year or two ago and you're not sure what's happening now, come on back and we'd be happy to do it for you again.
All right. And again, the day is 2 weeks from today, September 14th. And what time frame is that, Dr. Umat?
9 to 1.
9 to 1. And you do need to make an appointment, and you can pick which one of the clinics would work best for you. So we have this number to call to make your appointment. It's 1-866-86-YOUNG. Does that sound familiar? That's our number. Yes, and you can call today. 866-86-YOUNG to make your appointment for the gallery test and find out what's going on in your body.
Lynette, they will receive a phone call from a physician telling them the test result. And if they do opt to do the longevity panel, then it'll be an hour, over an hour of physician time to review all your test results.
Ah, that is wonderful. All right. Thank you, Dr. Yu, Matt. We'll be back with more of your phone calls. Here is the number to call to get in on the show today. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. Phone lines are open and waiting for your call. So give us a call right now. Don't wait until the very end of the show. We may not get to you. 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started in to hum. Still, it's a real good bet. The best is yet to come.
Ooh, Jerry, oh, the best
yeah.
is yet to come.
I've always thought so.
That's what you always say, Dr. Mixon. Oh, welcome back. This is Leading Edge Medicine. I'm Lynette, and along with me, Dr. Samira Umat in the studio and Dr. Jerry Mixon. And we would love to talk with you about your health, a recent diagnosis, or some of those things happening as we're all growing older. And none of us gracefully, right? I mean, that's not really a thing, Dr. Mixon, right?
Getting older is the progressive loss of grace. There's no such thing as aging gracefully. Some grow old less gracefully than others, but we're all losing our grace. Damn it.
There we go. Yeah.
That is true. Yep.
That wasn't graceful, Dr. Mixon. All right. What would you say is the number one thing that people, as they are growing older and starting to notice, I'm not remembering, I'm gaining the weight, I'm slower. What is the most important thing we can be doing to make a change? What would you say?
Two things that are closely related.
Okay.
And that is to get leaner and get stronger.
All right.
Okay. The problem is that doing that without Longevity Medical Clinic is extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things you've lost are the endocrine support that allows you to make lean tissue, the anabolic hormones. Anabolic means it grows lean tissue. Okay. And as your anabolic hormone load is declining with age, and that's a perfectly normal thing to have happen, but you are less and less capable of making lean tissues. And if you're eating the same number of calories and burning the same number of calories, but you're less and less able to make muscle, ligament, tendon, brain, heart, lung, what do you make instead?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Fat.
Ah.
Okay. And the fat increases inflammation, which makes all your joints hurt and your muscles sore. And so you move less, which means you burn fewer calories, which means now you shift your metabolism even further towards fat. And it's a self-reinforcing loop. You can lose some weight by cutting down your food intake significantly, but then you're going to be burning both your muscle and your fat, and you're going to get weaker and more fatigued with aging. Mm-hmm. And so what we've got to do, and the way we approach this at Longevity is, we give you back that anabolic hormone load that you had when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
So now your body is capable of making lean tissue. You can make muscle and ligament and tendon and brain and heart and lung and kidney and bone. Now you have the capacity to do it. You got to get off your butt and go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that means push away from the table.
Yep.
Eat lighter, eat more sparingly, and start on an active exercise program. Giving you the anabolic hormones doesn't solve the problem by itself. It provides your body with the tools necessary. But now you've got to use those tools.
Right.
Letting the tools sit in this toolbox doesn't do you any good.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can alter your hormone balance. You then have to alter your lifestyle to go with the new hormone balance.
Right.
All right. And we're going to continue on this subject, too, as we take your phone calls as well. We're going to take a call now from Mukilteo. We have Eric on the line. Yes. Good morning, Eric.
Hello, Eric.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for the show. I love it. I listen to it every chance I get. Two questions. You mentioned, we talked about senescent cells a minute ago, and I take quercetin. Can quercetin alone make a difference with that?
Quercetin alone. Quercetin, along with several other polyphenols, such as resveratrol, can inhibit the formation of new senescent cells. So they slow down the rate at which you make new senescent cells. They don't help you clear the old senescent cells. You know, when you were young, when you and I were both young, at 18 years old, we made senescent cells, but we were physically more active. And it turns out that working muscle kicks out chemicals that kill senescent cells. But as we aged and our hormone balance was shifting, so we make less muscle and we exercise it less frequently and less vigorously, we become less efficient at finding and killing senescent cells. The other problem is that what removes the senescent cells is your immune system. Your immune system finds these pro-inflammatory senescent cells and destroys them. As a kid, when you were 15, 18 years old, you made a senescent cell. It would live less than 2 days. Okay, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 30 hours, your immune system would find and destroy it. And now you would make a healthy cell in its place. As we age and our immune system is declining, we are less and less capable of clearing senescent cells. So instead of living 1 day, they often live 2 or 3 weeks before our immune system will get rid of them. And we're making them faster, we're clearing them slower. And so the number of senescent cells in our system rises at a near exponential rate over time.
Right.
young primates, and the reason I say primates as opposed to people is that most of these studies were done in baboons, right? But genetically, they're fairly close to us. Young baboons, the skin in their faces will be about 5% senescent cells as young adults, but about 20% senescent cells in old age. Now, that correlates pretty well with what we see in humans. You know, if you recall when you had your babies or your grandkids, when that acid poop on their little bottoms caused them to have that skin burned and it basically just sloughed off, and now you got a raw little butt on this kid, you put the Desodyn or the barrier cream on it, and the next day, it had healthy new skin.
Heal quickly.
Babies grow new skin in less than 20 hours. They turn their entire skin over in about 20 hours. By the time you're in your 30s, you grow new skin about every 2 weeks. By the time you're in your 50s and 60s, it can take you 2 to 3 months to turn over your skin.
Right. Okay. So a scar or an injury takes much longer to heal. Right.
And we think a lot of that is the kid has almost no senescent cells, and he's got a lot of growth factors.
Right.
As we age, we are building up senescent cells that are inhibiting the turnover in our skin.
Yeah.
And we are not making as good or as fast a skin as we used to.
Yeah.
By the time we're elderly, our skin just doesn't want to grow. Well, that same process is happening in your brain, in your heart, in your lungs, in your bones, in your kidneys.
Your hair, your eyes.
Everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
It's a total body phenomena.
Right.
And so this appears to be one of the primary drivers of age-related diseases and decline. And so what is now being looked at and what we are doing at Longevity for the last few years is those patients that are early adapters who really want to get at things as fast as they can, like me. we are doing kind of aggressive senescent cell therapies,
right?
Lowering that senescent cell load and allowing our bodies to heal and repair at a much faster, more efficient rate.
Right. I mean, again, you know, Jerry, it's philosophical, something that we could never really prove, but how would we even prove it? But on the other hand, he did have a good point in that if he could use quercetin and you added resveratrol, so say somebody listening says, well, how much should I use? How frequently should I use it?
And we don't know.
Yeah.
But we do know that it doesn't clear the current senescent cells. The current senescent cells take more aggressive therapies to get rid of them. And so... But let me tell you about a little bit different study. This was a study done on senescent cells in fat.
Okay.
Because fat, like every other tissue in our body, forms senescent cells.
Mm-hmm.
They took a group of men and women in their late 50s and 60s that were somewhat overweight and sedentary, and they did a biopsy on the fat over their thigh.
Okay,
the fat overlying their thigh muscles, the quadriceps muscles. And then they put them on an exercise program for 3 months. And the exercise was basically quadricep extension. They worked those quad muscles.
Okay.
And what they found is that 3 months later, they went back in, they biopsied that overlying fat again, and they had gotten rid of 50% of the senescent cells.
Oh, with just exercise alone.
The exercise, the working muscle,
kicks
out anti-senescent chemicals, myokines, that kill senescent cells and help you to heal and repair.
Right.
Okay. So one of the ways to get rid of senescent cells without pharmacology is a total body exercise program.
Yeah.
But you have to work all the muscles in your body.
Sure.
You have to work them aggressively. You have to work them consistently. And the problem with that is older people don't have the endocrine support.
Yeah.
To provide you with that kind of strength and energy and endurance. And so what you end up doing is hurting yourself.
So
and
true.
You tear ligaments, you tear muscles. Yeah.
So true. Yeah.
You get hurting so bad you can't continue.
That's right. So true.
And so once more, right now, the only practical way is to use pharmacology, medications that we know kill senescent cells.
Yeah.
And that will reduce your senescent cell load. And then once we reduce your senescent cell load, you get on that exercise program. We kick your anabolic hormone load up, and you get on the exercise program, and you try to keep them away.
Right.
At some point, we're probably going to need to treat them again.
Uh-huh.
The trick is knowing exactly when with each individual.
Yeah.
And for that, we're looking for markers that will let us do a blood test mm-hmm. that will tell us when you need to be treated again.
Right.
Right now, we're having to do it clinically. Just based on as you start to fatigue, as you start healing more slowly, as you're not able to do as much, we treat you a second time, and then later a third time, et cetera. And so for me, you know, I get treated with a full 9-day therapy about every 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
All depends on how physically active I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do some lighter partial therapies, 3 days here and there, every month or two.
Okay.
So, but that fits my particular lifestyle and hormone balancing.
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
All right. Is that helpful for you, Eric?
That's very helpful. It's like a program to wear out, a program to die. It's just fascinating. I love the discussion you're having here. That's good. So just another odd thing. Sometimes when I get really tired, I'll sneeze about like maybe 30, 40 times. And
then it
like reduces the immune system, it seems like. Is that possible? It happens once a month. And right now we're very busy. And it just seems to, is that possible that I can make that happen? Or is this just something?
Mm. Well, let's wait on that answer. Yeah. Take a quick break and we'll be right back. So Eric, you stay right there. The doctors will talk for just a moment and we'll have the answer to that. Plus we have another phone call and we can get your phone call as well. Here is the number to call to get through for Leading Edge Medicine. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine.